two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Carey, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. Another edition of the program. You can always find any of our episodes wherever podcasts are found. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, all those things. Plus, you can just go to the KSLSports.com website and find yourself the podcast tab there. Click on it, find Scott and I's mug on there, and then download any episodes of any of the shows we've had in the past. So, Scott, how you feeling at the Draper Annex of KSL these days? Everything good?
Or is it the side one? Which one did they put up there?
Wait, say it again. I didn't hear that last part. What happened? You clicked off for a second.
No, I didn't do anything.
Oh, okay.
Well, you clicked me off. You dumped me.
I did not dump you. You did. Get out of here.
You're dumping
don't
me.
Don't cuss, and it won't happen, all right?
My mugshot on the website. Is it the front-facing mugshot,
Is it
the one where I'm turned to the side?
No, it's turned to the right. It's the old Raising Arizona one. So, Bill Riley, voice of the Utes, joining us here on the program. Voice of University of Utah, voice of RSL, and you got a lot of pies in the oven that are waiting to be baked. Though we haven't turned the ovens on totally yet, Bill. So thanks for joining the program.
Yeah, I think we've got to heat the oven up though. Now I think now we've got to we're preheating the oven right now. We've not put anything quite in yet, but we're preheating the oven a little bit.
So everybody looks at the NBA move that was ratified today, with the 29-1 vote with the owners, and everybody looking at that setup of the 22 teams, 8 games, then you get into the playoffs. It's convoluted, certainly, but no one cares because we're getting back to playing. What has the NBA's move done, possibly in other leagues or in the NCAA, to be able to look and say, hey, let's get this thing going? Or do people just go, nope, we're independently moving forward and trying to figure our own stuff out? Or do they use the NBA as an example?
I don't know. It's weird because we're like still 2 months away. They've announced all this stuff. They haven't played in 3 months, and we're still 2 months away from playing, which feels like forever.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, like Major League Soccer announced earlier this week, you know, they're going to be in training camp in 3 weeks, and then they're going to play games 2 weeks after that. So they're going to be going July like 8th, and the NBA is still not going until July 31st. So it's weird. It's good that they're coming back, and I think they're probably – I think what we haven't heard from the NBA is the financial side of it. I think they've worked all the beats out. Now they've got to figure out, because they didn't finish their full season, they got to figure out TV money and in regular season and then the playoffs. But, I mean, I love what they're doing, and I love the little playoff play-in format for the 8-9 seeds there. I think that's great, too. But I kind of think everybody's kind of doing their own little thing. There might be some similarities, like soccer's going to be in Orlando, basketball's going to be in Orlando. But they're going to be there for like 6 weeks, and then they're going to come back to home stadiums. The NBA is finishing up there. I think we just assume football's full speed ahead. It's looking more and more like on-time starts, and we're going to go from there. So baseball, who knows? Those guys never seem to be able to get anything right. But I like what the NBA is doing. I just wish it was starting sooner rather than later.
Well, I think as you said that, I just this thought popped into my head about why the late start. There probably are some things that they have to work out in the logistics, giving the players plenty of time to cut, you know, to get ready for the season. But it also gives them the ability to have an out. You know, if this thing spikes back up or things change from now to then they can say, and they'll have a much, much clearer picture of what's actually happening around the country and the world with, you know, with the whole virus and is it under control and do we feel safe about things? So which leads me to my question, and this is kind of related to Utah football and the start of the season. So you have five Alabama players who now have tested positive after a workout. Does this type of thing concern you? Because this question is really for Alex, Bill, and that is Alex is concerned that the BYU-Utah game is not going to happen this year.
I am very negative. I'm low on this one. I'm not buying yet that this game is even going to be close to happening.
Seriously?
I mean, even though things are coming back, I mean, I want it to, but I'm just telling you, I have people in my neighborhood. I have a couple, and you know this too. There is all that we've talked to Mark Harlan and everything's like, well, you know, we don't know yet. And there's this attitude of, well, we don't need that game. And so who cares anyway? Let's just get to the Pac-12 games. I don't want that at all. I want that September 3rd. Let's figure it out.
Well, no, they want to play all 12 games. I think that the conference-only model was like a worst-case scenario. But I think what we're seeing now is all these schools, and we may end up seeing Utah do it. Stanford did it this week. These others, they're all starting their fall calendar in early August, not mid-August, not late August. Classes are starting like that first week of August. They want to get the semester over because everybody's worried about the bounce back, if there is one, in November, right. December. So I think they're going to start this thing on time, and they want to get – I mean, Utah of all places, they want to have that game. They want to have people in the stands if they can, but they want to get as many of those games in. So, you know, don't be a negative Nelly, Alex. Don't be that guy.
Alex,
all 12 and starting 91 days
I'm insecure.
From today.
I'm insecure. My Ute neighbors are all going, yeah, I'm going to move on past that game. I don't think we need it. Nobody wants to get sick in that game. They're not going to play that game. You know, all the people who act like they have a friend that they – Mark Harlan is number one on their speed dial. They act like, oh, yeah, we have lunch all the time. And then they go, oh, I've already heard they're not playing that game. And you're like, don't do this to me. The state doesn't need that game. We've talked about it before. But right now, we all need the very first football game to go off as soon as possible. No fans, fine. No media in the booth. You calling it at your house and Scott calling it at his house, fine. I don't know what that looks like, but – what does that look like?
We'll socially distance, but we're calling it from Rice-Eccles Stadium. He's going to be at the far end of the booth, and our booth is big. You've been in that booth before, Alex. We got plenty of room to socially distance.
Now, hold on, but so what are the spotters going to do? What about spotters, statisticians? What are you guys going to do?
Well, the statisticians can sit in the back of the room. Spatafore's in the back. Plus, he's in that weird age group, too, so I worry about him. But well, anyway.
But you're also, listen, and I'm in the same category, too. We're loud people, and that is more respiratory droplets. I guess if you got that glass in front of you, you're okay. Just can't face Scott.
No, I'll turn the other way. I'll spittle all over the window. We'll be okay.
He'll turn the other cheek.
The game's going to – Alex, I really do believe that, you know, unless there's something that changes greatly, I think that they're going to get all their regular season games. Their full intention is to play the full 12-game schedule with fans, without fans. I don't think we're going to know that answer until probably August. When we get a little bit closer. But I think the intention is to do it, and I think the way we're trending right now is that we've got a really good chance to play that game.
Oh, good.
And don't let your Ute neighbors influence you. They want to win. They want to make it 10 in a row against BYU,
for sure.
And so do I, and so does Scott.
I just want – listen, we were talking about how I don't even – I don't care what goes on. Get these games going. I mean, no fans, it'll be weird. I watched some of these Bundesliga games, and it sounds really weird. It sounds like a scrimmage situation. It's just echoey. You hear the coach yelling every word across the field. And this is high level sports, and these are the top athletes of their field. And you go, oh, it's really echoey. It's fine. You have to convince yourself that it's a real game. Fine. I like the prospect of it looking weird, sounding a little bit different. Just let's get through the game. Let's figure out how to do it. Bill Riley joins us here on KSL's Unrivaled. Bill, Alabama players, five of them today, at least five is what it says, that have been diagnosed with coronavirus after about 50-person group workout over the last couple of weeks. This has to concern coaches, but to what level, and what do you learn from this, and then how do you change that happening at any of these other collegiate schools anywhere else?
Well, if we thought that nobody was going to come down with this virus when we're getting things back together, that's just life.
Right.
People are going, this isn't being eradicated. Even when we get a vaccine, this thing's not going to be eradicated. It's going to be around. Now, with that being said, the test group are some of the most fit athletes on God's green earth, and they're in a non-threatening age group. So these kids are probably either asymptomatic or showing very few symptoms. But there's going to be kids that get sick. The question is, how do you deal with it once it happens?
Yeah, that was my question, because is there a uniform policy about, hey, if a player tests, they have to be isolated, they're out, they can't play, and you have a really good player and you have a really big game, do you not report that? Is it independent? Because, you could certainly see teams going, hey, well, we'll kind of look the other way on this one because this guy's too valuable for us.
No, because I think if people find that, I mean, I know that that's human nature, but I think if people find out that's the case and the chance that you would expose other people, I think it's too great. I think you treat it like an injury and you quarantine those folks is what you do. You know, if somebody contracts it the week of a game, you just have to treat it like they pulled their hamstring and they're out for the next 7 to 10 days, and then you treat them and hopefully get them back. The worst case scenario here would be if you find that out, if somebody tests positive and you try to hide it and let them play, because that kid may be okay, but there may be two or three other kids that might not have the same immune system, or that kid then goes to class, or that kid interacts with his grandma on game day or something else. There's too many negative. There's not enough upside, and there's too much downside for one particular player, even if it's, say, your starting quarterback. I just think people are going to be uber sensitive to it. And frankly, too, you know, that could be something where if a coach or a trainer or a doctor tried to hide that and it got out, that could cost them their job.
Yeah.
Bill Riley, voice of the Utah Utes, joining us here on KSL's Unrivaled. We appreciate it, Bill, and stay safe out there. And yes, warm the ovens up. Let's get this thing going. Let's get the sports played again, and we appreciate you joining us for another week. And we'll talk to you again next week, man.
I'm hoping one of these days. I had food to bring down tonight to the show. I was going to bring some pizza and wings, and we were going to sit around and talk sports. But you told me I'm not allowed in KSL.
Not only that, Scott's not even allowed. That's the kind of weird. That's kind of weird life we're all in right now.
That just Scott's means more for you and me, Alex.
I just say, Bill, come to my house, and we'll do it while we talk to Alex. We can do that.
Now that's got to pull up.
I've got an extra headset. Let's do it, Scotty.
All right.
Taking the break here. We'll come back. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled, KSL News Radio. Welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell, former NFL QB. Scott Mitchell, former University of Utah great. Also, I'm wondering what's going to happen here, Scott, because Major League Baseball is saying that none of their media that are broadcasting games are going to be traveling to the games. I want to know what it will be like when you have to do the play-by-play, or when Bill's doing the play-by-play and you're doing the color commentary from your house in Draper watching the game on TV. That's a sad day, bro. And then they're going to go, oh, we've never needed to even send you guys. What's this about? I don't know. Like, honestly, the world is going to change with all this. Could you see it going back to a normal, like, you guys traveling to every game?
I don't see the issue with having the media call the game from where we are. I mean, we're up in a box. We're not close to anybody. We actually, most of the booths we're in are easily, we're 6 feet apart from one another.
Sure.
And we probably would prefer to be further than that. And I mean that in the nicest way.
That's a glass. They're surrounded in glass and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not, you know.
But the way Bill goes, those play calls, that's a lot of respiratory droplets, bro. I mean,
yeah,
that guy.
He projects out, and I'm to the side of him, so it's.
Look, no, but they said they've said it. They were like, yeah, it doesn't look like Major League Baseball media is not traveling to these games down in. For baseball, I don't know how they're going to do it. Ben said yesterday they're trying to figure out the logistics of the players, things like that, because I think they know on the back burner is coverage, because as long as they can get TV cameras in there, blah, blah, blah. But I think the reality is that, you know, think about David Locke calling these games for the Jazz, and what does that look like? Is he going to be courtside? Are they going to allow that? Are they going to move them up to, you know, up into a booth that is behind glass? Like, you know, I think football is probably the least of the concerns. Yeah. The other ones, you know, they're kind of in these open air, you know, deals calling games and everything. And I don't know. I just don't know what the future looks like for calling games for media guys.
Yeah, I'm sure that it will over time kind of evolve. But I think in talking to Mark Harlan, I think it's the least of their concerns, quite frankly. I really do. I know there's some obligations. They talked about it with the NBA, and I think there's a way to do it. I know for me, if I had to look into a monitor and just watch what was happening, I would be totally fine.
You're not one of those guys that's going to go, I got to be there. Otherwise, I can't see the full field and give me the because you like to have your you like to have your binoculars and stuff out. But mostly,
it's
TV fine. Coverage is fine.
Yeah, it's fine as far as
getting it done short term.
Yeah, I think there's a way to work around it.
Okay.
What's nice though is we have a pregame show. We have a lot of build up. You get the fans in the stands. You like to get to feel that energy, even from a broadcasting perspective, that the excitement of what the game's going to be, the live atmosphere of all of it, it certainly adds to your kind of energy, as opposed to just kind of sitting in some, you know, booth somewhere.
Look, we don't. Not everybody goes to games, but what does the future look like for in stadium? And do you think this is one of those things where we've seen? We talked about this on Nightside last night, where it was like, you know, these movie theaters, a lot of them aren't going to make it back. Could that ever happen with like the traditional go to the venue in sports and watch that live sporting event, where it's like, yeah, we've just changed appetites. We don't want to be in these big crowds anymore in these massive stadiums, paying X amount of dollars. Obviously, those are two different things with the movies. Movies are contingent on, hey, if there's a blockbuster out, we want to see it. And live sports is the blockbuster. The idea is this could be a blockbuster. I'm going to be there to see it live.
I'm not sure it hadn't already happened before this all started.
We have seen the dip, certainly.
And it's like, why are people – and I know we've talked about the different ways people view things. And certainly from technology and personal devices, it just seems – and streaming services, it's definitely going to change. And so I really wonder if it even matters. I mean, really. I mean, I know there's an excitement about having people in the stands, but what makes sports, professional sports, so popular, college for that matter, is television. That's where most of the people, you know, you have 50,000 people at a football game, but you have millions watching on TV. You sure. Tell me which one is going to drive more dollars and more interest. It's certainly television. And there's this sense of, you know, I want to go to a live event. And there's nothing like a live event. You know, I was there. I witnessed it. I saw it firsthand. I was a part of something special. So I think I get that with people. But, you know, in today's world.
I think you're right. The people who stopped going to games, though, those people had already stopped going to games.
Yeah.
And the thing is, and I bet if you can weigh in via text, by the way, 57500. Think about the people that we've talked to over the years who are like, yeah, I used to be a season ticket holder, but meh. How many people have come up and told us that? Like, I used to be, and it's almost always the price point now is insane. Or, we had those tickets for a long, long time. We didn't use all of them every week, and then it turned into, hey, we're going to need those seats for something else, or they increased them by 50% or whatever. Or your team loses all the time, or you know, they've had this problem at BYU for the last eight seasons, getting butts in seats. And I think this is just going to be even worse. You know what I mean? I think there's just going to be incentive for people. Here's a real question. What about when game one rolls around for Utah and BYU if they're kicking off of a Rice-Eccles Stadium? How do we handle that as a sellout situation? Because, you know, Utah's got that streak intact, buddy.
Well, you know, thinking of, like, not having people at games, Alex – and you go, I'm going to have a party at my house. And with the advent of or the decision that there can be gambling on sports, And there's all these apps. We saw it with the Stallions when they were here.
Right.
And that would be so much easier to have a party at your house, have that kind of interaction as you're watching the game.
You're saying this is going to make gambling take off because everyone's going to be at home now?
I think, yeah, I do. I actually think because it's harder to sit in a stadium when you're all in a line on your seats and you're trying to have this interactive experience on your personal device. And I just think that the personal device viewing in different ways is kind of the wave of the future in sports. And this pandemic may just be the catalyst to make it accelerate the reality of it happening. I can totally see that.
I do wonder what people's kind of future of going or not going to sports is going to look like. You know, I don't know. I feel bad because there are a lot of people who are like, this is so massive for them. This is such a big deal for them to be able to say, I'm taking my kids to this game. For us, it's a big deal. This is a Saturday thing for our family, going to those games. Now, I don't get to sit next to them because I'm usually up in the booth somewhere, but I don't it'll be devastating to kids, I think, to not be able to go to these games when they're used to going to games.
Well, so, you're going to kill a generation. You know, people continue to go to Disneyland and Disney World because they were taken there as kids.
Yeah.
And you take that generation out of it, and pretty soon people go, yeah, we're not really interested in that, and we've got other things we want to do.
Well, listen, the reality is it's trying to compete on an entertainment value, you know, dollar-for-dollar value of being entertained on a Saturday versus doing something else. It's certainly everybody's spread more thin these days, and there's stuff to do for everybody else anywhere else. They don't have to go to the games, and so I want to see where that goes. But I still want to talk about the NBA.
Yeah, I'm shocked about Alabama, though, because, like, what else is there to do in Alabama? Come on. Just go watch a game once. There's nothing else going on.
There are stadiums that this will not affect at all, though, for sure. We're going to take the break. We'll come back. We got more to go right here. KSL's Unrivaled continues on KSL News Radio. All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell, former NFL QB. Scott Mitchell, former University of Utah great. Also, I'm wondering what's going to happen here, Scott, because Major League Baseball is saying that none of their media that are broadcasting games are going to be traveling to the games. I want to know what it will be like when you have to do the play-by-play, or when Bill's doing the play-by-play and you're doing the color commentary from your house in Draper watching the game on TV. That's a sad day, bro. And then they're going to go, oh, we've never needed to even send you guys. What's this about? I don't know. Like, honestly, the world is going to change with all this. Could you see it going back to a normal, like, you guys traveling to every game?
I don't see the issue with having the media call the game from where we are. I mean, we're up in a box. We're not close to anybody. We actually, most of the booths we're in are easily, we're 6 feet apart from one another.
Sure.
And we probably would prefer to be further than that. And I mean that in the nicest way.
That's a glass. They're surrounded in glass and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not, you know.
But the way Bill goes, those play calls, that's a lot of respiratory droplets, bro. I mean,
yeah,
that
but,
guy.
He projects out, and I'm to the side of him, so it's.
Look, no, I have but, my... but they said they've said it. They were like, yeah, it doesn't look like Major League Baseball media is not traveling to these games down in for baseball. I don't know how they're going to do it. Ben said yesterday they're trying to figure out the logistics of the players, things like that, because I think they know on the back burner is coverage, because as long as they can get TV cameras in there, blah blah blah. But I think the reality is that, you know, think about David Locke calling these games for the Jazz, and what does that look like? Is he going to be courtside? Are they going to allow that? Are they going to move them up to up into a booth that is behind glass? Like, you know, I think football is probably the least of the concerns. Yeah. The other ones, you know, they're kind of in these open air, you know, deals calling games and everything. And I don't know. I just don't know what the future looks like for calling games for media guys.
Yeah, I'm sure that it will over time kind of evolve. But I think in talking to Mark Harlan, I think it's the least of their concerns. Quite frankly, I really do. I know there's some obligations. They talked about it with the NBA, and I think there's a way to do it. I know for me, if I had to look into a monitor and just watch what was happening, I would be totally fine.
No. You're not one of those guys that's going to go, I got to be there. Otherwise, I can't see the full field and give me the because you like to have your you like to have your binoculars and stuff out. But mostly,
it's
TV
fine.
Coverage is fine.
Yeah, it's fine as far as
getting it done short term.
Yeah, I think there's a way to work around it.
Okay.
What's nice though is we have a pregame show. We have a lot of build up. You get the fans in the stands. You like to get to feel that energy, even from a broadcasting perspective, that the excitement of what the game's going to be, the live atmosphere of all of it. It certainly adds to your kind of energy, as opposed to just kind of sitting in some, booth somewhere.
Look, not everybody goes to games, but what does the future look like for in stadium? And do you think this is one of those things where we've seen, we talked about this on Nightside last night, where it was like, these movie theaters, a lot of them aren't going to make it back. Could that ever happen with the traditional go to the venue in sports and watch that live sporting event? Where it's like, yeah, we've just changed appetites. We don't want to be in these big crowds anymore in these massive stadiums paying X amount of dollars. Obviously, those are two different things with the movies. Movies are contingent on, hey, if there's a blockbuster out, we want to see it. And live sports is the blockbuster. The idea is this could be a blockbuster. I'm going to be there to see it live.
I'm not sure it hadn't already happened before this all started.
We have seen the dip, certainly.
And it's like, why are people – And I know we've talked about the different ways people view things, and certainly from technology and personal devices, it just seems, and streaming services, it's definitely going to change. And so, I really wonder if it even matters. I mean, really. I mean, I know there's an excitement about having people in the stands, but what makes sports, professional sports, so popular? College, for that matter, is television. That's where most of the people, you have 50,000 people at a football game, but you have millions watching on TV. You sure. Tell me which one is going to drive more dollars and more interest. It's certainly television. And there's this sense of, I want to go to a live event, and there's nothing like a live event. I was there. I witnessed it. I saw it firsthand. I was a part of something special. So I think I get that with people, but in today's world,
I think you're right. The people who stopped going to games, though, those people had already stopped going to games.
Yeah.
And the thing is, and I bet if you can weigh in via text, by the way, 57500. Think about the people that we've talked to over the years who are like, yeah, I used to be a season ticket holder, but meh. How many people have come up and told us that? Like, I used to be, and it's almost always the price point now is insane. Or we had those tickets for a long, long time. We didn't use all of them every week. And then it turned into, hey, we're going to need those seats for something else. Or they increased them by 50% or whatever. Or your team loses all the time. Or, they've had this problem at BYU for the last eight seasons, getting butts in seats. And I think this is just going to be even worse. I think there's just going to be incentive for people. Here's a real question. What about when game one rolls around for Utah and BYU if they're kicking off of a Rice-Eccles Stadium? How do we handle that as a sellout situation? Because, Utah's got that streak intact, buddy.
Well, thinking of, not having people at games, Alex, and you go, I'm going to have a party at my house. And with the advent of or the decision that there can be gambling on sports, and there's all these apps. We saw it with the Stallions when they were here.
Right.
And that would be so much easier to have a party at your house, have that kind of interaction as you're watching the game.
You're saying this is going to make gambling take off because everyone's going to be at home now?
I think I do. I actually think because it's harder to sit in a stadium when you're all in a line on your seats and you're trying to have this interactive experience on your personal device. And I just think that the personal device viewing in different ways is kind of the wave of the future in sports. And this pandemic may just be the catalyst to make it accelerate the reality of it happening. I can totally see that.
I do wonder what people's kind of future of going or not going to sports is going to look like. I don't know. I feel bad because there are a lot of people who are like, this is so massive for them. This is such a big deal for them to be able to say, I'm taking my kids to this game. For us, it's a big deal. This is a Saturday thing for our family, going to those games. Now, I don't get to sit next to them because I'm usually up in the booth somewhere, but I don't it'll be devastating to kids, I think, to not be able to go to these games when they're used to going to games.
Well, so. you're gonna kill a generation. You know, people continue to go to Disneyland and Disney World because they were taken there as kids.
Yeah.
And you take that generation out of it, and pretty soon people go, "Yeah, we're not really interested in that, and we've got other things we want to do."
Well, listen, the reality is, it's trying to compete on an entertainment value, you know. Dollar for dollar value of being entertained on a Saturday versus doing something else. It's certainly everybody's spread more thin these days, and there's stuff to do for everybody else anywhere else. They don't have to go to the games, and so I want to see where that goes. But I still want to talk about the NBA.
Yeah, I'm shocked about Alabama though, because like, what else is there to do in Alabama? Come on. Just go watch a game, let's say. There's nothing else going on.
Yeah, there are stadiums that this will not affect at all, though, for sure. We're going to take the break. We'll come back. We got more to go right here. KSL's Unrivaled continues on KSL News Radio. It's all about ball bearings these days. 57500 is the text number. A little Fletch reference, a little Fletch music. So
is Babar with two B's or what?
Just relax, Mr. Babar. Let me see here. Can I borrow your towel? I hit a water buffalo on the way over here. I forgot about that. All right. So listen, it's the last portion of the program. You know what that means? We got to get into our 2-minute drill here. And Scott's going to explain what the 2-minute drill is as we fire up ye old NFL music.
Well, at the end of the game or at the end of our show, we don't have a lot of time, so we got to hurry. We have a lot to talk about and not a lot of time to do it, so we talk a little bit about a lot of things, and we finish out the show in a strong fashion and win the day.
Oh, sorry, I'm into the music.
Oh, no, it's good. I like
it. Love it. I hum this up. By the way, this is a terrible thing and an awesome thing. I hum this music all the way home, like I'm in the trombone section. Like, I'm just – that's how much I love it. All right. Scott, let me start things off. Mark Cuban has revealed that he had an independent pollster investigate whether or not he could actually make a run at the presidency for this year as an independent. The pollster gave him their findings, and Mark Cuban decided, not so much. I'm not that interested in doing it. So, but he was close to – he felt like he was getting enough love across the board from everybody. And this is a guy who has – you know, he wouldn't be the first – billionaire to go, you know what, I bet I could throw my hat in the ring here and make some, I've already got the money side of it figured out. Scott, who in, and you know what, kudos to him for having somebody say, nah, probably wouldn't work, and him going, you know what, you're right, I'm not going to run. Because most guys go, yeah, right, make the numbers work. What NFL or NBA or professional sports coach, administrator, general manager, owner, would you look at and go, oh, that guy would be pretty good at president?
I'm going to shock you a little bit right here. You ready for this one?
Chuck Knoll. What? Who?
No. Gail Miller.
Look at that.
Yes.
You know what?
I know. It's a great pick.
It's an amazing pick.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, Mark Cuban wouldn't be all bad.
No, Mark Cuban would be good, but what makes Gail Miller awesome is that she does what I think every great leader does. She surrounds herself with amazing talent, too. So she's a brainiac. On top of the fact that she hires brainiacs, that's an amazing pick, Scott.
Well, it's not only that, and that's a really good point about surrounding yourself with smart people.
Vice President Quinn Snyder, by the way, but keep going.
but what I like is she doesn't talk a lot. You know, you get a guy like Mark Cuban, and you can never shut him up, right? And he just on
those,
and on.
Those White House press conferences just keep going,
right? But what she does is she's measured in when she speaks.
Yes.
And when she speaks, it has massive impact. And you get a sense from her that this is a person who cares deeply about what she's involved in and the causes. And she's on the right side of things pretty much all the time.
Yes.
And so it's that trusted leadership. And there's just a depth
to
her.
Why does it sound like – hold on a minute. Did she hire you as your campaign as the campaign manager? We said no. We'd never heard if she'd been actually been running for president yet.
I actually interviewed her once on Helmets Off, and she was one of the best interviews I've ever had. She was great, really good, and her thoughts and her answers to questions were just about as impressive.
What are her hobbies? What is she into? Is she like golf?
No.
Look at that. We'd save so much dough. But see, that's the thing. When we get a president who's not into golfing, what are they going to spend money on that we're going to go, what on earth are you spending $100 million on?
But here's what she did. She goes, look, when Larry died, you know, I was just a fan. And she kind of got out of her ivory tower and rolled up her sleeves and said, I'm going to be an active participant in the Utah Jazz. She believes it's a treasure and something that's very valuable to the people in the state of Utah. And she's done everything she could do to preserve that. And I just see her as she's kind of that reluctant leader, someone who would not seek this out, would be right. Incredible.
Let me make my pick then.
All right.
Okay? And
Dennis Rodman.
He's got that East Asian connection with North Korea. We've already got that figured out.
He's the Secretary of State. Dennis Rodman.
Now, I'm going to go. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Because I still want somebody who is kind of self-inflated, thinks they know what they're doing, but probably doesn't. Chip Kelly, head coach of the UCLA Bruins.
Wow.
Get in there. And just have him. He's every press conference, he's mad, and he's fired up, and he's grumpy about stuff, and nothing ever gets done. And you go, you know what? Great job. It's the same thing we've had the last few presidencies. So there you go. All right.
I mean, you got Bill Belichick.
Belichick would be a great pre. Imagine the press conferences with him. I dropped a bomb. Dropped a bomb on the Middle East. That's it. That's the only. And then you go. Can you tell us more about what happened in Iran?
Yeah, we're under Iraq.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
We're on to Kuwait.
My goodness. All right. Next on the 2 minute, we could keep going with all these. Next on the 2 minute drill, today everybody's apologizing for all the things they've said, and that's fine. But one of the things that came out today, and then you're gonna have some explaining to do if you are Nick Saban. 5 Alabama players have tested positive for COVID-19 after workouts. It has not been that long they've gotten into workouts again. Wink. The reality is they've probably been working out a lot more than we think they have been.
Right.
But according to CBS Sports, at least five University of Alabama football players have tested positive for COVID-19 after a group workout. The group workout included about 50 players, they said. They were tested Tuesday, practiced together Wednesday, received the test results today, and at least five tested positive. So the SEC allowed teams to return to voluntary workouts. What they're not saying is whether or not they were feeling symptomatic or not. Now, that's the other thing they haven't said it, but they're tested positive, quarantined, and I think that a lot of the players and everybody else involved with those workouts also have to be quarantined as well. So you know what that means? Fewer Alabama practices for people to have to – you got to get ready for Alabama. So fewer guys practicing with Alabama. There you go. So 5 guys. It doesn't bother you. This is going to happen, right?
It makes me wonder what kind of impact it'll have on wins and losses and loss of practice time. And it's just, you know, practice is important and getting things ready and right for a season. It's very important in football. So just hearing that, you just have to wonder what kind of impact. But the other side of it is, you know, most young people, when they it's not an issue. I mean, Donovan Mitchell didn't even have symptoms, and he tested positive. And so it's just a question of, okay, you have these situations come up. How can you control them when they do? You know, how can you quarantine these players? How can you keep them away? I think that's more of the issue and the concern. At least that's what I would have if I was in that situation.
So I certainly Alabama's not going to be the only team that's going to have this type of thing happen to them. So. That's exactly what I think a lot of folks are worried about. But at the same time, there are a lot of folks who are saying, now this is exactly what is going to happen.
I mean, I'm surprised. I'm surprised, Alex, like a team like BYU, just in the sense that a lot of returned missionaries, people have traveled all over the world. They've had a higher probability of exposure. I'm just surprised more of that has not happened here locally, and there really doesn't seem to, or even with all of those missionaries when they came back from all those parts of the world, I guess I would expect a lot of things to happen, and it didn't. And maybe it was because we were stay at home, stay safe, and that had a positive impact.
Yeah, we're seeing
impact.
That little mini uptick right now, you know, as we're starting to loosen some of the guidelines a little bit. But yeah, all right, Scott Mitchell. You know what? You should run for president. Come on, buddy. Don't be one of those former athletes who goes, everybody wants me to be in office, and then you start actually doing some of the politics, and you go, this is not worth it. For Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Keery. We'll be back again tomorrow, a Friday edition of KSL's Unrivaled. Until then, we'll see you then.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.